lumberjack matches, tag team matches, championship matches. It's the Clash of Champions, and it's next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are here. We are loud. We are live here at AfterBuzz TV Studios to talk about Clash of Champions. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. But I am not alone. We are a full house here, burning the place to the ground for our final pay-per-view show of 2017. But as always, you can find Denise to my left.
I just realized it's our last show of 2017. For a second, I was like, oh wait, what? Anyways, I'm glad to be back and glad that we're ending the year with a bang and a full house. You guys can find me on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram at underscore Denise Salcedo.
And to her left, starting off the special guest hosts.
Super special.
Super specials here.
The specialist.
The most special.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sarah the Rebel. You can find me everywhere at Sarah the Rebel, and I host a podcast called Women Wrestling Friends Podcast. Certainly not to be confused with WWF Podcast, whatever that is. And we're selling shirts. We're going to talk about this later.
Oh, it'll come up. And to her left.
What's going on, Steve? It is I, Evan Mack, America's sweetheart, here right now. Listen, you can find me on Instagram at Evan T. Mack. Yo, I'm feeling festive today, Steve. I don't know about you.
I can tell by the festive hat. You're feeling very festive. And last but certainly not least, over on the couch.
Hi. I don't words good.
Good. I'm glad I brought you.
Well played.
Tyler Bateman, you can find me on the social medias at GDM Tyler Bateman.
Great. So, last pay-per-view of 2017, a record-tying year, 16 pay-per-views by WWE, and that's not including all the other content you can find on the WWE Network.
You say that, and I feel exhausted.
Already.
Like, I need more. I want more, Steven.
I think WWE, keeping up with all people who make content, content exhaustion is a thing.
Right.
Yeah,
content fatigue.
Right.
The Netflix of anything means you're going to have the same problems Netflix has. And here we are. We're the 16th major pay-per-view of the year. How are we feeling? How are we holding up?
Oh, I'm
should we get through it?
Listen, I'm feeling lovely. Great. The more the merrier. When there's not enough content, people complain. When there's too much content, they complain. Can't make these WWE. The universe, listen, settle down. It's a fun ride. It's been good. It's been a good 2017. Right, ladies? Yes?
I'm not going to just say yes because you put the word in my mouth when I opened my mouth. I think I would have liked the pay-per-views more if there had been more crossovers. I think that was my thing.
Yeah.
It felt just more like this is a glorified episode of SmackDown or Raw held on a different day. So for me, I would have liked just a little more to make it special. But yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
I agree. I was actually saying this earlier. I felt like Clash of Champions was just, it was just there. Nothing super memorable happened. There was some fun moments, but overall, just there. But I think it's more, we know the big stuff isn't really going to happen until the Royal Rumble. So this is kind of like the
holding pattern pay-per-view. Yeah, like you're going to get a title change maybe too. And that's just where we are, how we're feeling. Tyler, how'd you enjoy the pay-per-view?
It was definitely a show that I watched with my eyes. I'll back to same thing. I thought it was like a long episode, an extra long special, and a very special episode of SmackDown.
Very special episode of SmackDown.
That sort of thing. Like we helped, someone get off speed, and we taught someone that. You know, underage drinking is bad, and then
there were some title
bit. Yeah.
Guys, watch Mr. T's special if you ever get a chance. I just want to say
it's tough. It's just tough to please y'all out here, man. It's tough to please y'all.
You're like the only happy one here today.
I'm so excited, man. Ziggy, come on. I'm excited about tonight. Tonight was nice.
But I would also argue, speaking as a lifelong wrestling fan, as I'm sure we all are, there's a certain level of being a wrestling fan that includes, for whatever reason, feeling you have the right to be critical.
Right.
And I think shows like this sometimes give you, not even this show, this wasn't even a top 10 bad show of the year, but it's, forgettable seems like a good word, which is hard to say the night it happened.
I think it could be two things. It could be one, we spend a lot of money on WWE things, from pay-per-views for people who are buying it, to merch and things like that. But I think the other thing is, we all kind of grew up being able to talk about wrestling in certain spheres, right? If you were lucky enough to like have an online community that you could go and talk to about it, like you were lucky. Plenty of us grew up with nobody to talk to about WWE, so
that's
now
true.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, it's like we gotta do all of the talking about WWE. So I think that might be part of it, why we're so critical.
Social media has its advantages and its, like, you know, disadvantage at the same time. So when there's too many people talking all the time, you're right, like, you get that one friend and you guys hung out, talk about wrestling, like, really quietly in the cafeteria.
Right.
You know? Well, I think the issue I ran into is, like, there's every school, there's, like, maybe three of those kids. And if those kids aren't compatible with you in any other way, you're pretty much forcing a friendship.
I was fortunate. True. I still have my wrestling buddy's still my buddy. You know what I mean? I'm very lucky.
I had my nephew and I hate him. I hated him then. I hate him now.
I had zero friends that liked wrestling when I was in grade school. I was made fun of it for it. So thank goodness for the internet and message boards.
So let's get into the pre-show match.
Yeah.
It is Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. In the pre-show match,
Mojo Rawley
second to Jinder Mahal, who's in the main event in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. This tag team brewing over years, the match is on the pre-show.
Right.
The match itself, great. These guys, great.
Right.
They broke up last Tuesday, if I'm wrong. Right?
Yeah.
When did they break up?
Very recently.
They broke up within the last, like, 10 days. And
right.
Now we're on the pre-show.
Right.
And that's... Yeah. And that's my only criticism. The match was great. The story they're telling is great. Yeah. Everything about these guys.
I love the match. Like, Zach always puts together a good match, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Mojo's coming into his own. He's getting his sea legs and stuff like that. So it's good to see them. It was good to see Mojo, you know, get a match with someone he worked well with. You know, and I think it's... I like any time Zack Ryder gets in the ring. You know what I mean? I think he's an underrated talent. Has been for years. So, but it was on the pre-show.
I love Mojo Rawley as a heel. I feel like this is the part where we're kind of really getting to see him shine. Mm. You know, versus I think you can do a lot more with him now than you could have when he was with Zack Ryder in the Hype Bros. Now you can do so much more. And I kind of like that we're being able to see all of these new, I guess, his new dynamics that we haven't seen before.
Right.
Yeah. And that's about the match. They also got some time. That's a lie. 6 minutes, 55 seconds. They did not have some time.
It felt like a really long match.
It felt like time.
It was quite lengthy.
Although, correct me if I'm wrong, no commercial break in the middle of the match.
I was very disappointed in that. So I was like, what is this? So yeah, we'll be right back. I was like, where are you going?
But the match, though.
This is really good.
It happens. I'm hoping we can, I guess, move... Either we're moving forward with Mojo and Zack Ryder as singles, or we're sticking, or they both have something to do, or we're sticking moving forward with the two of them feuding with each other.
What do you see? Do you see them giving Mojo a push, Steve? Legitimate push?
I hope that the plan is to give Mojo Rawley a very legitimate push, especially on the SmackDown roster, which is mainly tag teams.
Right.
So to break one up is actually a really good thing, hopefully for both of them, if not for one of them.
Mm.
And this is the blow off. I kind of wish there was more of a blow off. Is where I'm at with.
I can dig it.
That's where I'm at with this match. I think we can move on. I'm just now realizing I should have these percents up because the graphics I use means I don't get to see them while I'm standing here. And that's me stalling briefly.
While it loads?
Everybody?
Is it like loading room?
Oh,
so
okay.
I actually missed the kickoff show.
We are
so
live.
What happened? Who won?
Got it.
20 seconds.
Listen, you buy time. We will feel this dead air.
Mojo. I would put money that Mojo won.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes. Mojo definitely won.
That's what we all thought,
It was an aggressive finish, too. It was a clean finish. It was a clean pin. It was clean. It was
What was the finish?
Oh, he did that, you know, the little, you know, when he runs against the rope, mm-hmm. the little shoulder tackle, dang, hits him, you know, it was really, listen, it was, Mojo was lit.
I was Mojo's always lit, though.
I was looking at the screen like, man, he don't get hype, he does stay hype.
It's my understanding that he stays hype.
He stays hype.
He stays hype. Speaking of staying hype.
I don't know if he ever gets it, but he stays. Just to establish some ground.
Well, you have to assume at some point he got hype. And then stayed hype.
Five years ago, Mojo got hype.
That's the documentary I should pitch to the WWE Network.
Yes.
The day Mojo got hype.
Seriously? If you don't, I will.
I need that prequel.
A radioactive Red Bull.
Oh, my goodness, man.
The day Mojo got hype. Therefore, he stayed hype.
Crackers.
Speaking of being hype, our fans are super hype. They're live in our chat right now.
Yay.
They're
Hi.
All about it. They also want to become AfterBuzz TV Predictions Champion. We run a contest here where you can become AfterBuzz TV Predictions Champion. All you have to do is follow @ABTVPPV on Twitter. they will tweet out the link to the Google form that I'm looking at right now, where I can now tell you that 89% of those people also thought it would be Mojo Rawley.
Okay.
8.5 thought it would be Zack Ryder. 2.4 thought it would be some type of no contest or other. I only go to a half a percent. Beyond that, let's not get into it.
Shout out to the people that
are really well done, by the way.
Shout out to the person that like voted no contest though. It takes a little bit of guts to go out.
More than one person was like, I think the rope's gonna break. Wow. I think so. I think it's gonna be no contest. Something's gonna happen. I think the brood's gonna come back. Make it happen.
Don't you tease me.
That would be sensational.
But current brood. Current brood.
Gangrel.
So Gangrel has to do all the work.
If Gangrel came out in that ring, my goodness gracious.
Last time I saw Gangrel, he spilled a little bit of his goblet juice onto someone and then broke character to apologize really profusely.
Shout out to Gangrel.
That's a good dude.
I am so sorry. I spilled blood upon them.
Gangrel.
Oh, I love it. So we're on to the main show, not the main event. I was about to say main event. That would be incorrect. The main show, which was for the United States Championship. It was Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode, and Dolph Ziggler. This was a great opening match.
Loved it.
Loved this opening match. They made incredible use of 12 minutes, 45 seconds. Right. Baron Corbin outlast, not because he's been in the business longest, but because he's the champion.
Yeah.
I'll allow it. You make your rules, I guess.
I mean, half the time it's just whose music needs to play longest. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out
who needs the most time to dance.
We all know, like, Bobby Roode's like entrance takes like 18 minutes.
I think that's the real reason.
And I love it.
That's the real reason more than anything that people go when they go. But I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the interplay between all three of them.
Right.
I, for one, can openly admit I was worked. I thought it wouldn't. I thought Dolph Ziggler had no chance.
Yeah. They got me.
Everyone kind of thought that he was going to be the one to take the pin because we all knew that Bobby wasn't going to get pinned.
Yep.
So we were kind of like, okay, Dolph Ziggler was put in here so that he could take it. And then when he actually won, I was like, oh, wait, how's that? It was really nice to see because we don't get to see this very often where we actually see the champion lose, you know, in a triple threat match.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. I thought this was fun. You know what? When this happened, everybody was shocked. Like, there was not one person that I saw on Twitter, or at least not very many people that I saw on Twitter, that were like, oh yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Why? Because we really did not.
Yeah, because Boston fans like, we know everything about everything. Yeah. We know how every match is going to go.
That's not true.
We know everything.
But Boston fans a lot, like, just like very powerhouse East Coast city towns, like, are just really, contrarian would be a good word. We kind of came up with in the hallway of just like, they like to cheer for who we're not supposed to cheer.
Right, like who are the companies trying to shove down your throat, so to speak. They're like,
also, Dolph Ziggler, people still like Dolph Ziggler. Like, they have had to do a lot of work to make us even kind of not like Dolph Ziggler.
Because he's just too good in the ring. You just can't. It's hard to deny his ability. Like, you can say whatever you want to say, but he always gives 110%.
I feel like he's the guy the fans are waiting for to see have his, like, moment, just because we've seen everything that he's been through in the company, where it's had his ups and his downs, and we're kind of just waiting for him to have his hurrah moment.
Yeah.
You know? I enjoyed everything he did with Bobby in that. So I would really like to see, like, if they just do a long feud with them for a while, I'd really enjoy
good old-fashioned long feud for the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Boza in our chat is implying that he only has 6 months left on his contract. I can't confirm that.
I've been hearing.
You hear that a lot.
I've been hearing about Ziggy's contract for like 3 years.
Well, but that's the last I heard about his contract on any official basis was that he was gonna let it expire and then move to LA and do comedy.
Yeah, not saying he's wrong. He could have inside information, but I've been hearing that for years. Like, he does comedy anyways.
Yeah, like he's working toward a life where he just comes here and does
have
comedy.
Have we considered that KFC is trying to just buy out his contract? Just saying.
But KFC would only be interested in if he was on TV, but I do agree.
Ziggy, if you get any of them chicken deals, pass them your way. Man, listen, me and fried chicken, we good. Ziggy, hook a brother up. Yeah, you heard me. Yo, show off. Yeah, me and chicken, it is what it is, man. I love some fried chicken. You brought it up, girl.
I didn't bring it up. I brought up KFC.
Okay. Well, I knew what you were saying.
George Snares in the chat says Ziggler wins the Royal Rumble. Sure.
Whoa.
But you heard it here first. George Snares said it here December 17th.
Two-Face whom? I love the bold prediction though. I'm all about it.
I never know when to use who versus whom.
I don't either.
Okay, I was right. I wanted to know that. That's
I was
exactly
so scared.
What I wanted to know.
It depends on your mood. If I was you're being
so
fancy or not.
I was so scared. I was like, that might be right. It could be wrong. My mom's gonna be like, boy, it's who.
So
just get a text.
Speaking of bold moves.
Well, speaking of being right, being wrong. Our predictors over at the AfterBuzz TV Predictions Championship, 6.1% were correct and thought it would be Dolph Ziggler.
Wow.
The vast majority, 61%, thought it would be Baron Corbin. 31.7% mm-hmm. thought it would be Bobby Roode. And I'm pretty sure it's not on the graphic because it's only 1.2%. But 1.2% thought it would be some type of schmaz.
The Brood.
Do any of y'all think
thought it would be Brood? The Brood.
I'm a little bit surprised so many people were pulling for Firewolf Wizard hair.
That shocks me. He literally says that every time he comes out. Oh,
because there's a fiery wolf and he has wizard hair.
I like that.
His hair starts at the back of his head.
Now, can we talk about this briefly? And I'm very serious.
Please.
He's from Kansas.
Yes.
Follow me right now.
I'm
looks
with you.
You're
with,
like
we're here.
A wizard.
Yes. I'm still with you.
He's from Kansas.
Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now.
Now, what is his gimmick? What is his theme? Well, is it perhaps better if he were to be the Wizard of Oz?
Oh, my goodness.
I just want you to consider
what
it.
A schtick.
Think of the implications.
I'm about to hit enter on Baron Corbin, Wizard of Oz.
That's alternative.
If it's a blog post of yours, you can warn me
that
right
was,
now.
That's some deep
if that's
stuff.
That's the top no. post.
You because should have said that. I was like, because right he could look at you and be like, we're not in Kansas anymore. And then, like.
That's pretty. He takes himself so seriously,
right.
though, he wouldn't do it.
But that would be the thing.
I'm with you. That's a schtick, right?
I don't think it could be any worse. I don't think it could be any worse than what he's doing now.
She's on to something here.
Yeah.
Also, if you Google Baron Corbin, Wizard of Oz, it just takes you to his Wikipedia page and says missing Wizard of Oz. We're on to something here, y'all.
I can't believe you Googled good. That, by the way.
Good. This is a good thing to say.
We need to write a press release citing this episode.
I love that.
To be the top.
Oh, if that happens, you got to get some kind of.
Yeah, to be the
something.
Top search
we
results.
Need some kind of compensation here.
Some coins. You know the ones you open and they're chocolate? Those are what I would like to be
hook
paid
a girl
in.
Up for real.
Pillowcase full of them.
Baron Corbin, switch it up. Switch it up.
You will have a briefcase full of them. We will be asking for the briefcase back. That is how we do here.
It's fine.
All right. The Tag Team Championship match. Fatal 4-Way for reasons. Because last I heard, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable were number one contenders. And then the New Day were number one contenders. And then it just became everybody get in here.
Yeah.
And Rusev and Aiden English. We're number one contenders.
It's popping right now.
And though. The Usos are the tag team champions.
Yes.
Love this match.
Unbelievable.
This was an interesting pairing of all four teams.
Yep.
But they did a great job with it because you always run into a conundrum where you try to have four teams tag, meaning you have four legal men.
Right.
Essentially. And then four not legal men.
Right.
And then Xavier Woods. There's just a lot happening that I think these guys did a good job of making it a literal just jump from go that it's just going to be pandemonium. The referee's going to count the three and you're not going to think too much about it.
You know what? For me, I did not like the four guys in at once. I thought the majority of the, like 75% of the match to me was like, oh, when is something going to happen? The last few seconds, the last few minutes or whatever it may be of the match, I was like, oh, this is awesome. But it was literally the entire time, nothing, nothing, nothing. This is too much. Like, I would have preferred it to be more of an elimination. And mm-hmm. then, but oh my gosh, Chad Gable when he suplexed Aiden English, Rusev, it was insane. Biggie Langston.
Shout out to
wow.
Chad Gable, brother.
That was awesome.
That boy is something special.
He committed three acts of attempted murder and everyone on pay-per-view. That is a bold move.
I mean, goodness gracious.
I was like, show me that Aiden English footage again. Show it to me from another
she head. She was like, play it that gift. Play it frame by frame. I want to see the moment see his the soul moment. Leaves his body.
It's a powerhouse,
man.
There it is.
Died.
Where's that GIF? Where's that MOV? Where's that 3GP?
I do want to agree. I almost felt like I was watching a math problem. Because I'm like, okay, it has to be four men in the ring. You can only tag your own partners. How can they possibly win?
You ladies are tough
like,
tonight.
Like, they literally had moments over and over where it'd be four people in the ring and two people are pinning and then looking at each other and two people are pinning and looking at each other.
There was a lot of that.
Did you like it?
I'm like her. I like the end. I like the beginning. I like watching everyone come in and wondering what was going to happen. Yeah. And then I like the end. The end was intense.
It was awesome.
But, like, I thought the beginning, the all F this spot of the beginning of, like, we ain't tagging. We're just going around.
Right.
I thought that helped get over the conceit of the whole match. Because my issue, because I'm weird about rules sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm a particular person. But, like, I'm weird Steven. About rules.
That, like, I have 14 JPEGs. No, they are not PNGs.
It's like, the resolution better be correct because...
What's my aspect ratio?
But, like, I think it makes it all the easier to follow if at the very beginning of that match, it's just like, nope, we're just running around.
Right.
Everything will be everybody.
I can do
it. Get more worried about these characters and invested in the outcome of this match and less worried about the rules.
Right.
And I thought they did a good job, at least for me.
Was it also no disqualification or something? Like, no count outs?
Was it loose? Was it like a loose count?
Well, that was super loose. Well, also, once again, if within 3 minutes of the match, the legal men and the not legal men just all schmazz together and run out of the ring and then run back into the ring, it's...
Right, that's what I'm saying. You don't wanna, overall, I was just like...
But, like, the key is if you're writing a narrative, you can, to a certain extent, control what your audience is thinking. And by having that's that, by having all those high spots so early in the match, my argument is you're putting it out of the audience's mind of who's the legal man, what's happening.
That's a hell of a
can
argument.
This person tag? Can that person tag? Yeah. It's like, no, I wasn't on board with Rusev and Aiden English, but then they came out and had that promo.
That promo.
And I want them now.
Aiden English on fire with the 12 Days of Christmas.
All about it.
You kidding me?
So much chemistry. God. I love them together.
Like, I was not
Rusev
sold on
is
them.
Already, like, you know, Rusev is already over. People already love him. Like, I haven't met someone that doesn't like Rusev. I'm sorry. I haven't just yet.
Yeah.
And having them together, like, they're such an odd pairing. You would never... I mean, I would have never thought to put them together.
Yeah.
And then they did, and you're like, oh, this works great. I love it.
I know Rusev is, like, happy he's with Aiden English. He's like, this is, like, I'm over, like, really over, though, you know what I mean? He was He was winning people over slowly. He had that core group of fans, but I know he was looking around in Boston like, really? We're this over, huh?
Yeah, He looked so joyful in his face. You could see it. Like, yes, people are chanting for me. And if you've seen that, I can't remember what it's called now, because it was Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yep.
You've seen it, he has... And if you've seen Total Divas, that man is funny in such an understated way. So being able to get to see, he's technically playing the straight man, but seeing him get to be funny and have fun, it's a very beautiful thing. I'm enjoying it. Even if his hair is very ugly. Also, give him Lana back because she's being wasted.
You said all that nice stuff.
So
you
wasted.
Just talked about his hair. He was so nice.
It's bad hair.
You said your hair is lovely.
It's
Machka.
Machka the hairstylist.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Yusuf, I'm with you, man. I'm down with your hair. My hairline's receding. I know the struggle's real. Half the reason why I got this hat on.
I was about to say, that explains exactly the hat.
Listen, it's Christmas and his hairline receding, y'all. Y'all need to know
about that. Look in this camera just to say, Steve. I'm...
Steven.
Not too far from a Rusev. Steven,
it's real up here. The struggle is real.
Is Rusev living in his hair? I didn't even notice.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry,
I meant Corbin. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I noticed Corbin. Wow.
I'm like 5 years from a Corbin.
They're practically twins, though. I can see the mix-up.
Same people, I guess.
Right. I have that problem a lot. People call me
Rusev
stuff.
Also looks like he survives off hot Jim Beam and cigarette butts. I'm pretty sure that's all Corbin needs. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a scary, scary tall
man. Real quick on the percents, there's no shocker on who thought would win, which is 52.4% thought it would be the Usos.
Is that so?
The shocker for me is that 23.2% thought it would be Rusev and Aiden English.
They're hot right now.
Yeah, that's
right. I could have seen that as a surprise.
17-1 Benjamin Gable, New Day 7.3.
Yeah.
No actual surprise that New Day is so low because they don't need...
Yeah, and they're at that point in their career now. They're first ballot Hall of Famers all the way now. So it's now this is just, and I love the way they're taking on the responsibility of putting people over. You know, this is what they want to do now. Like that's what makes a great company, man, and tag team. Like they're like, oh, let's just have great matches now.
Because for them,
and
it's
they've been on a roll.
Yeah. And they've had their moments and they've had their titles now, and they're just let's have some great matches with some good guys and just do some good work.
For them, it's a matter of attendance.
Yeah. Yeah,
to turn up
without question.
That's what they do.
They just deliver, and you know, it's New Day.
I dig it.
Make everyone crave pancakes. Yeah. It's rude. You know what time of night
that
your show comes on.
That was disrespectful.
It's not breakfast time
because they look delicious.
Also, New Day. Next time y'all are in Los Angeles, which should not be that long,
right?
Me, y'all.
February, actually, I think
the Griddle.
They were just here.
The Griddle on Sunset, calling you out.
February. Wow, it's a call out. If you don't come, it means you're a punk.
Pancakes. Syrup.
And we don't want the butt syrup that Big E had. We want real syrup.
I mean some real syrup.
I am happy on this show that they came out with trays of pancakes instead of that one time where he just like pulled it out of his tights.
I told you, the to-go plate, very loving, very kind. You make a to-go plate for people you love. But pulling the syrup out of there was a step too far.
They were like, listen, we got to put it on a tray because this is going to freak people out.
So let's go on to the women's championship match, which at one point, very briefly, was billed as a lumberjill match.
Right.
It's back to being called a lumberjack match. How do we feel about this?
Because there can be women named Jacqueline. Let me tell you how I feel about it, because I have a lot of feelings.
Bring it.
SmackDown is constantly being like, how can we fit all of the women in the division into one storyline so we don't have to waste too much time on them? Every time.
They literally
did a same spot that we saw in the lumberjack match that happened, I don't know how many weeks ago now, because who knows?
Of course.
Wrestling just happens and we're on a cycle. But I was like, they literally did the same spot where they come through the ring and they're back on the other side. And I was like, you couldn't even...
You recycled the spot.
Right, you recycled the spot, you recycled the idea, but I am happy that everybody looked really strong. It was confusing at times, though. I don't think they did a great job of explaining why people would feel a certain way about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, all six of the women at one point were beating somebody up, except Naomi, who's in the back, so it was probably Charlotte. Yep, Charlotte's getting beat up. And at one point, one of the Riot Squad, like, throws Carmella out of the beating up pile, and Carmella comes back to continue beating up Charlotte. This happened a couple times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she overstepped.
Right, and I'm like, so what? Girl. What is happening here? Why isn't Carmella now fighting the Riot Squad? Why is she coming back? Like, oh, sorry, I guess I'll aim for this one corner.
Yeah, I think Carmella was trying to stick to the shtick. You know what I mean? I think the Riot Girl was getting a little extra. You know what I mean? I think she was going off script.
At one point, she was looking like she was going to cash in, which would have been fun to see.
That was definitely scripted. Yeah, that was definitely scripted.
I'm talking about the points when they were outside, where it was like, wait, what is Carmella doing? Like, why wouldn't you fight somebody if they're doing that? Wait, who hates who again? I'm getting really confused. What is happening?
Do you want to know what would clear all this up? If the women had two segments.
Yes.
If Charlotte, Flair, and Natalya had a match.
Nah, no, you guys.
And
really,
then that was the match.
Yeah, Steve.
And then the Riot Squad faced Naomi.
Yep.
Tamina and Lana.
It's true.
You have enough women to have other matches.
Or Carmella. Or you find a way to put those six women in one match and then the two women in another match.
Yeah, I think they're fierce. Steve. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I stepped on your toes.
I got to hit it.
I was just saying, but if you do that, you're not shoehorning everyone into one set. And then everyone gets time. Let's not.
See, I almost messed that joke up. You see what I'm saying? I had to let you go. It was fire. I was fire.
I didn't want to interrupt the Canadian stand-up. It was happening between y'all.
Sorry.
His mustache is too perfect. I had to let him go. Well, it's interesting what you're saying, though. Like, they're hyping up this new era, the new diva era, and the new women era, and these women are better than ever, and we, like, then give them two spots. Give them more than one spot. Don't try to put this on the universe saying they don't want to see this and they don't want to see that and one's enough. And you guys gave these ladies a Money in the Bank match. Like, goodness, there's a Money in the Bank for women now.
There was a Hell in the Cell.
And that was ridiculously good. Woman match or whatever. That Sasha Banks Charlotte match was unbelievable. Unless you're going to just do Natalya and Charlotte, cool. But if you want to use more divas, just give them another match, guys.
Give them another match. I'll correct you once and say women.
Yeah.
It was due. It happened twice. I was like, sorry.
I chose to pretend it was a lowercase diva, and he just meant that these women are divas. And I was like, yes.
Women from divas, Total Divas.
Women like from Gangsta. Total Divas. They call it Total Divas still. Like, come on now. But like women.
The division is the women.
It's kind of weird, right? They don't call it Total Women. But anyways. The women, you know, but I say just you guys have the faith in these ladies and they're strong and there's a lot of strong wrestlers. I'll give them more than one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that maybe had they had different moments, obviously, like you said, Natalya and Charlotte with their match and then something else with the other girls, had the match would it have been better? Because I kind of feel like Natalya and Charlotte didn't have the greatest match here tonight. I think, and these, you know, both incredible athletes, they could have had a better match.
Without question.
But it was also somewhat distracted because of the lumberjacks or lumberjills, whatever you want to call them. So I think that's part of the issue. And it makes me wonder, like, I totally agree with you. They're doing all of this wonderful stuff for the women. So why not give them separate moments? You know, is it because they don't want to waste too much time with them? Is it not enough? What is it?
And I just want to point out one thing. You mentioned you think they didn't have the greatest match. match, if you look at Charlotte's face at the end, Charlotte looked like she felt that she didn't have a good... Her face looked kind of angry, like...
Charlotte, she wants to have a good match.
You lent my name to this? Like, right. I was... Because I guarantee you what she was sold on was the idea that you and Natalya will lend your name to the entire division and will get over the entire division. Especially the three young women who just came through.
Right.
The three call-ups.
But I think also part of it was I think they made it a Lumberjack or a Lumberjill match because of I think they were still afraid of how the crowd would respond to them fighting again. You know what I mean? Like someone someone new.
Boston?
Like, I'm just they weren't
Flair and Natalya just get bringing that straight fire. I think
just,
that's perfect.
They just I agree with you, but they just weren't. I think they might have been a little nervous.
They need to do the Marvel tactic. Make an Iron Man movie. Most people on the street don't know what Iron Man does. They assume he wears iron, right? And then from there, we have this big thing. It all came because of these movies. So give us a Ruby Riott match. Give us a Sarah Logan match. Give us the Liv Morgan match. Let us get to know who the heck they are. Clearly, we don't care about them yet.
Yeah. And
then give us Avengers.
All I'm going to say, and this is not for here, but with this Riott Squad stuff, two things, actually. One, I tweeted it. If the Riott Squad is Destiny's Child, Ruby Riott is Beyonce.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's not degrading any of the
Sarah
three.
And Sarah Logan is Michelle. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. I'm from a hunting family. Oh.
And two, Raw's doing this 10 times better. Yeah. And it's just unfortunate.
And it brings up her point about recycling. We're seeing the same thing.
We just saw the same thing the next night. And we're expected to just not
but
act like...
But people know who Paige is.
Yeah,
no, it's a slight difference.
So the Raw group had the distinct advantage because you come in with someone that you already know and SmackDown's like,
right.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, that's a
and it also
go get him.
And it didn't help that the Raw angle got to do it first with Paige, and then the next night, all anyone is saying,
"Here's knockoff Paige.
Here's knockoff Paige. Here's knockoff unknown Paige."
Paige has so much charisma, man. And she just oozes charisma. No matter what she's going through. Can someone confirm
if it's her house or not? Have we got
all you need to know? Is
do we know
house?
Whose house it is?
If you know nothing all you else. Know. That's all she says.
I think
my house.
don't besmirch the good name of Paige.
Shout out to Ruby Riott. Beyond just the Beyonce comment, I think she's a star. I think she's proven to us in the last 3 weeks that she's a star.
Yeah,
her name's in the group too. So to underline that,
It's her, and I'm appreciate. Like, I hope if this falls apart, like it looks like it might.
Right.
I hope she's at least able to come through with the ashes. I hope all three of them can, but I hope she stays on the main roster and everything works out.
Absolutely.
But on the percents, it's fairly predictable. On the percents, we have got, I'm not stalling at all. Charlotte Flair, 92.7%. Charlotte Flair, 2.4%. Natalya, 4.9% no contest. More people thought it would be a no contest than Natalya.
They branching out a little bit. They're daring to dream. The no contest.
The no contesters. The no contesters.
Come on, brother.
Getting in there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this match because they didn't spend a lot of time on this match.
We spent more time on this match than any of these matches so far.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's how you do it, WWE.
I'm talking about the next match, the Fudgeon Brothers and Breezango. Oh. This match was a minute 55, so we need to spend no less than a minute 55 talking about it.
My money was on Breezango. I thought tonight was their night. They're the Washington Generals to the Bludgeon Brothers, Harlem Globetrotters. They were due. They were due.
I thought that would have been fun. I think Fandango and Tyler Breeze are in a similar place as the New Day, that they don't need to win.
Right.
Which is a good place to be.
Yeah.
And when you go up against the Bludgeon Brothers, who are, their win is assumed.
Like, they have to win the tag team titles, right? Don't they have to win them?
Well, if they have to beat, they have to, like, lay down more tag teams along the way. But
you know what
yes.
I mean, but they just
I don't
have
know,
to.
The way they handled Gallers and Anderson's, Gallows and Anderson makes me really nervous. I don't necessarily know that the WWE has the confidence to make monsters, which they should have more confidence in because they made Braun. They followed the recipe
and
it came out great.
They don't know how to make monster tag teams.
Because they love monsters. They love monsters. Like
they love
all
monsters. They like Braun.
They're
loving like Brock.
They didn't do a great job with Nia either. So, I don't know. Women in tag teams, I guess, is their blind spot.
I think in general, women in tag teams might be a bit of a blind spot for
the
WWE.
That's a fair sense.
It is.
But for this one, I actually didn't. I mean, I knew the Bludgeon Brothers were going to win, obviously, but I kind of felt like they should have. I thought they were going to go a little longer. I didn't think it was going to be a squash match for this. I thought they were going to at least go a few minutes.
What
or
are these,
so.
The colognes?
Shout out to the 1.2% though.
Yeah.
Believe.
That's a strong 1.2.
I'm trying to tell you.
So on the 1.2%, 98.8%.
I like the people with faith, man. I like these. These fans have faith, man. They have this is that's Christmas spirit.
They believe.
Big George Michael fan.
Yeah, I care about 1.2%.
Do we have anything else to say about the Bludgeon Brothers before we head on in?
I like the new Rowan and Harper though. I like this new hardcore Rowan and Harper since they just pulled him away from Bray like 8 years
too
early.
For no reason, you could have just put him back now.
Or just call him the Wyatts. I've had a long, and this is armchair booking, so I'll let it go real quick.
Yeah.
I'm of the idea that there should be a Wyatt family tag team down in NXT. There should be a Wyatt family tag team on the indies. There should be a Wyatt family tag team on Raw and SmackDown. And then Bray Wyatt is a single. Yeah, and Bray Wyatt is a singles who does not interact directly with any of them.
Or doesn't lose.
I like
ever.
This idea.
I like the, like, if you were genuinely a cult, if you were genuinely a cult leader.
But he loses all the time. It kills his shtick, man.
Does. But it's that ridiculous. Doesn't kill it as much.
It really does. Also,
it does.
It really
I can't
does.
Be afraid of you.
Yeah, he loses. I mean, he loses the Finn as the demon. He loses the Finn as regular Finn. I'm like, he can't even beat regular Finn. So his shtick about being a god, the eater of worlds. It kills him.
Stupid.
It does. He has to win. Goodness, he's never won a WrestleMania. Of course.
Oh, but don't worry, Sister Abigail is gonna save the day. Don't even get me started with that
I
one.
I pray to God. I just need him to win. His shtick is unbelievable.
Does anyone know if Bray's neck's okay? Like I would imagine severe whiplash at this point from the start and stop.
Like, bro, like
we need to.
Like, yeah. Come get.
Does anyone? But I
stresses me out.
I think the fact that all of us at this table forget that it was less than 12 months ago that he was world champion.
But for 5 seconds.
Thank you.
95 seconds.
I never forget because that was the joyful moment in my life. I was like, finally, we're going to do it.
It was a clean pin, too.
And then Randy Orton.
Gosh, I'm getting emotional just thinking
bless
about
this. Bless you,
Randall. I mean, I love him, but man, not at Bray's expense, though.
Also, I do have a theory that the only real people who are a member of the Wyatt family are the technical crew at the WWE. Because how else do you project stuff onto a ring? That's just me.
That's the greatest thing of all time.
We gotta move on.
That's the greatest thing of all time.
I could talk about this for hours.
Yeah,
very
I get real upset about this one.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, tag team match.
Lovely.
With Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan as Odd Couple guest referees.
Indeed.
You get this side. I
unorthodox.
I loved it when it became the I Love Lucy episode where it was like, well, you stay on your side of the ring and I'll stay on mine. They just need the tape down the center to separate it.
How much you want to bet that was the plan up until 6 o'clock? Like, okay, so where's the tape gonna be? Like, there were production meetings today where it's like, so the tape's gonna, timekeeper's gonna have the tape?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we got, yeah.
Who's gonna have the tape?
Who's gonna
have the tape?
Bring out that black, yeah, just, yep.
So is the timekeeper gonna, or is Daniel Bryan gonna bring the tape? It's my job to make sure somebody has the tape.
I just need to know where it is, so when the time comes, we're gonna just put the gaffer's tape down the middle.
So somebody needs this. Like, he's Shane McMahon, it makes complete sense if he just goes like this and somebody has gaffer's tape.
That'd be amazing.
He's Shane McMahon, he runs the place.
I wouldn't even be mad at that at all.
That would have been cool.
That Three Stooges moment would have been excellent.
Bring me some gaffer's tape.
Bring the gaffer's tape.
We're 86 in gaffer's tape.
I'd like to think it got 86 when he lost his
Shane
lost his ability to tell people he needed gaffer's tape.
Actually looked like Daniel Bryan was having problems with his earpiece because he kept like putting his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, is so that I just thought it was weird.
There was something there.
I'm assuming on that.
Daniel Bryan is perfect in every single.
Nah, he just had a razor in there. Like, we gonna bleed? Nope, no bleeding.
And we're good.
Hardwood. Okay. I'm going to take out this earpiece so I don't have anyone to tell me that.
What'd you think of the match, Devo?
I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed this story. I mentioned this briefly outside. I think if you had not watched SmackDown TV this month and just watched this match, right. I think this story would be more concise and well told.
Okay.
Because I think if you watched TV, you would see the yep movement and kind of a very jokey Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn tag team. Yeah. that, speaking of building a tag team or a team or like monsters, they don't come off like monster heels, bad guys. Right. Like, oh, I hate the, like, where it's just like, kind of cute.
It kind of started that way, though, you know, like that aggressive Kevin Owens headbutting Vince. And it started that because aggressive Kevin is something special.
And somewhere along the way, I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, their natural inclination to just be entertaining.
Right.
Is overtaking what level of entertaining they're trying to be.
That's well, they a have fair a assessment. Cool bad guy vibe, though. I think it works because they both balance it, because Kevin Owens full of attitude and Sami Zayn is like so fun and quirky that it kind of like mixes in together. And Kevin Owens also has that like thing where he's like, you know, he's supposed to be an ass, but he's really funny too. Yeah. You know,
sarcastic.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like D-bag.
As you said that, I imagine them as like villains in like a comic book for a second, and I really want that like really bad. Okay. So adorable.
We have two ideas that are open source as of this moment.
You cannot have my ideas. He is wrong.
Sorry. Never mind.
What are the percentages?
Oh, man. The percentages on this match were 11% Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, 4.9%, so close to half of normally think so it'd be some type of schmaz, 84.1% thought it would be Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, because let's be real. Because
of the job.
Yeah, like the job, like loser leaves WWE.
No way.
That's not a thing.
No also, way.
Didn't they immediately, after they make this clause, advertise Sami Zayn for, like, the mixed tag?
Yep. Yeah. I think their argument
is... I can tell by your high-pitched voice that you're being sarcastic over there.
No, but there was... What's going on over there? He's right. There was an ad for the show on Facebook that Sami Zayn was absolutely going to be on. Right. And they're just like, nah.
Right.
No, but he might lose his job between now and then.
So, and you could backtrack it and cover that. We'll just put someone else in. Yeah, but yeah. Like maybe call still
subject to change.
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe.
Truth be told, 84 seems a little low for the stipulation.
They'll never work here ever again. Never say never, but never.
Never say never, but never. Not SmackDown, not Raw, not maybe Total Divas, really not Total Bellas.
Believe that like a Shinsuke and Orton coupling would be allowed to lose. Maybe that's why those people.
I can buy that.
Yeah, but Orton's okay with losing these kind of matches, though. You know what I mean? And
yeah, well, I could see the only way I could warrant the 11.9 is Orton turning on everybody and letting Shinsuke lose.
Right.
Okay, but even then, that's the other way. That's the Kevin Owens way.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, it's just them losing their jobs. Just
that'd be kind of fun. Like that's. Sometimes they do this. There was a this time many years ago, there was a time where John Cena lost his job and like did this big heartfelt speech and like, I'm coming home for Christmas and all this stuff. And then he was back and he worked house show dates as Cena.
I still remember that one Raw where Chris Jericho got fired when his match was John Cena. And I remember when he's leaving the ring and I was a kid, so I cried my eyes out during this. He was like, no, I have a family, please. Yeah, no. So, you know, I think, you know, depending on probably your age demographic, you'll probably believe certain things and
I love about WWE. Sometimes we lose sight that we're older now. Mm-hmm. And, it is still for the young bucks out there that are the dreamers and that are like, oh my goodness, like they're gonna lose their, like we forget we were there one
true.
Time.
Yeah. I think also we watch to a certain extent because we want to still feel that way.
Oh, of course. That's the only reason why I watch WWE. I'm still a kid.
On a weekly and a monthly basis, they still like once or twice every show do that to us.
Oh, dude, like Ziggy winning?
Ziggler tonight.
That's what I was gonna say, those little moments.
Yeah, yeah. I had like goosebumps when he won.
We hang out for those one or two moments where you're right. An 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And I know 11-year-olds are smarter than we were when we were 11-year-olds.
Losing a streak at WrestleMania. That was like...
yeah, the moments always still happen. I'm just saying, like, I know what it's geared towards now. So, a lot of the hotshot, like, WWE fans, like, oh, well, I didn't believe that.
The whole thing with Roman Reigns. It's an easy example.
Yeah.
Kids like him a lot. Yeah, that's and mamas who bring them to the shows like him a lot.
So exactly. But, of course, there's a moment where it's like, oh, my, you know, like, wow.
That's what we're still here for.
Yeah.
Let's get into the main event because we've got just enough time for it. This main event went 23 minutes. It is AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal has the Singh brothers out there with him. It is a singles match for the WWE Championship. This was, I think you were mentioning this.
AJ doing what AJ does.
And Jinder Mahal looking the best he's ever looked.
Because AJ can, like, so he can make me look good in the match. Right now. I promise you.
AJ Styles is on a plane right now. He can make you look good in a match on a Google Hangout.
Seriously, I'm like, we're on Facebook Live or something like that. And he's like, Evan, here, just roll up.
I'm on my way.
He's just too good, man. He's way too good.
I didn't like this match.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Sorry, guys.
Gracious. Hottest of takes.
I'm sorry. Hot and you guys were all saying you guys liked it. I mean, obviously, I agree with you. I've said this a million times that AJ's that guy that, you know, he does so many things to help other people look great. Hence, we also had, like, the Brock-AJ match, which we saw a perfect example of that. But there, I feel there's only so much that you can do where Jinder had, like, zero offense. He wasn't doing anything to look impressive. This was probably the worst match that I've seen in quite some time.
Really?
In terms of a main event, in terms of a championship, I was just like, oh, poor AJ. The entire time I kept thinking to myself, like, poor AJ this, poor AJ that.
AJ can make lemonade, though. AJ makes lemonade, though.
I do agree with you. But I agree with you, too. I hated this. I was pretty bored the whole time. Except when AJ got thrown into the metal, and then I spent a lot of time asking him if that was like real. Like, is that a thing someone could do safely?
No. AJ just does what he does.
Well, define safe.
Like, he's okay, but like that could have went wrong.
Can you break your whole wrist?
But like, can you stub your toe safely?
See, that's,
I mean, your toe, sense, generally your toe won't break,
but it'll hurt a lot.
Right. This was more my question. Yes, this looks painful, but my question was, is that at all safe? Because if it's metal and you run your wrist into it and your shoulder into it, to me, that just looks like you're asking to break your body parts.
Always can happen. It's always a possibility. That's what makes WWE so good, those variables. He could have got hurt there. He could have. Mm. He didn't.
But I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this match.
Are we alone? Is it just me and Steve? What about you? Are we alone in this?
Awesome. No pressure then. I do think AJ does make Pymanade. Yeah. Like, he generally tends to make the best of any situation that he's in. I think Jinder's looked great and has been on a good run. I haven't seen a lot of their matches together, so this was have they worked a lot together?
This is their second match
that he won in Manchester for the title. Pretty solid. It's like I said, Jinder's like this powerhouse, and his AJ's like, it's tough, man.
It looked physical, if nothing else, because Jinder got his cheek split a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed some of the early body work where AJ was going after the leg and then Jinder was going after the ribs, and I got kind of lost in the middle. And then I enjoyed the finish sequence where the Cobra Clutch thing where now everyone's doing the backflip out of it, so it looks really weird. And
yeah, that Colossus is interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I really like the very last sequence where he got the calf crush and almost the ropes and then rolling all the way through, and then small detail out, like going up higher on the toe to get more leverage.
I was just yelling the whole time, you're long, you're so long, get to the ropes.
tap out
rangy.
On the rangy. I was digging that.
Long.
Rangy.
That's long. The real question is, what do we do with Jinder now?
Is he going to get into that weird purgatory that some of these big these big men get into? Is it going to be brand change, IC title? Like, is he going to get into the United States title? Like, there's this weird purgatory that Jinder's going to be in right now.
No, here's a wild idea. It's going to be weird. Let's take out Jinder out of everything and give a guy like Rusev this like push that Jinder got, because he has the crowd, he has charisma, he has something more to offer. Sorry, Jinder.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jinder. Nice, I like run. Your suits. I like your little dudes that hang out with you. I think they're cool. But there's just always been something missing for me from Jinder.
The reason.
All right. Do you know what it is?
You're hindering Jinder. That's what you're doing.
We are all hindering Jinder. Don't hinder Jinder. But we're trying to help. We're trying to unhinder Jinder. And I think I figured it out. Do you know what Jinder Mahal does not have? He does not have Aiden English.
Without question, because I'm telling you, the most underrated thing in WWE is that mouthpiece.
Let's make some money. Here's how we do it.
You get a mouthpiece, like, it's it. Your goal,
we
man.
Build to the Rumble. This
but
all happens
then,
in the Rumble.
Though, the Singh brothers are pretty entertaining. I personally enjoy them. They're not Paul Heyman entertaining. Well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, they take some crazy bumps, and they praise him like a guy, which to me is actually some of the most funniest
but,
parts
man,
when
Paul,
Jinder
like,
comes
like,
out.
If Paul Heyman, I'm telling you, Paul Heyman make that dude a superstar.
Well, Paul Heyman's only worried about making one dude a superstar.
You
want
to talk about Lemonade, though? He can make me a superstar tomorrow, too.
If he wanted to.
I'm thinking of Pit. Yo, Paul, what's up?
Ask Cesaro. Ask Cesaro how that felt.
Another underrated guy, by the way.
Ask Curtis Axel how that felt.
We got enough time everyone. In this show. I'm about to get emotional up in here.
I'm just saying, Paul Heyman, you're right. Paul Heyman on pure merit could put anyone over.
You, me.
He only cares to put one person over.
It's true.
Even when he's tasked with putting other people over.
It's true, though. He did good with Punk, though. He did good with Punk as well, though. You know what I mean? But
That was the other person
in the
world.
Not to talk about Lord Voldemort like that. No, he will not be named. But
you're right. Paul Heyman existed to put two people over in recent WWE Universe
Paul,
memory.
I'm with you all the way, baby. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to Steve. Paul,
no, I, he I doesn't love, need to.
Paul, if you're watching, hi.
Another Paul.
Steve, you are not wrong, brother. You are not wrong.
If I.
All I'm saying is Jinder Mahal.
My idea, sir.
The modern day Maharaja.
Come on.
There only be one by one Jinder Mahal.
This is a really good impression. A. But B, also, does he ever remind you of the guy from Star Wars, the ones we don't talk about? The big Gungam leader with his chins? No, it's just me. Hi. That's what I see every time I look at him. I just see the.
Just gender?
Well, allow me a volley, sir. I think the Gungan army
that is great.
Needs to go over the Trident.
Yes.
That is sensational.
Okay, that was all me. If anyone wants to take that audio and make something original, have at it. That's all you.
It's going to be a meme.
Just link us back to this. We do have to get in the percents. 4.9% thought it would be Jinder Mahal. 93.9% thought it would be AJ Styles.
Good.
That same 1.2%, I'm pretty sure somebody went through this whole form and said no contest.
I like it, though.
Just
I
to
like
make
that.
Sure I have to add that extra text.
I like that little task they put you on right there. Just extra graphic.
Just like, yep, he's got to write 1.2 every time because of me.
Yes.
Good on you, sir.
Yes.
But no surprise there. AJ Styles, face that runs the place. I think anyone who thought it would be Jinder Mahal, I don't actually blame you.
Right.
There's a bit of value in that because what else are they going to do with Jinder Mahal? Because that's the question we're asking. We don't know.
He's going to fall into that purgatory, man. It's going to be that weird purgatory. Limbo.
Before we say that, I would also argue that purgatory is a lot less on SmackDown than Raw.
Agreed.
If he were on Raw, he'd be lost tomorrow. On SmackDown, they'll still find something for him to do.
So what could you see him doing then? What?
I could see him working with Mojo Rawley if they try to work Mojo Rawley away from Zack Ryder.
Oh, wow.
But if it's heel, I could see Mojo Rawley moving on to somebody else and then him working with Zack Ryder, with Ty Dillinger, with... There are still singles guys on SmackDown.
I'm with you.
But to a certain extent, you would have to put him at a holding pattern until the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, just a little baby.
And then set up something in the Royal Rumble where he gets a rub, he gets far.
Right. I think he'll do well in the Rumble.
Put him with Baron Corbin and then put them on every kickoff show ever. Winner.
Just some hot takes. I hear some hot takes tonight.
The same height.
I think we're talking hot takes, hot predictions. I'll give one. Jinder Mahal, last five remaining in the Royal Rumble this year. Next year.
I'm with you.
That's a
super hot, bold, super take.
Your face.
You said last five.
That's
my goodness.
One of the last five remaining in the Royal Rumble. He may enter over 25. I think he's going to enter past the 25 mark to get there.
He's like 30.
Enter 30. There'll only be three guys left when he gets in the ring.
Steve does not go out on limbs at all. He goes out on sturdy branches, man. That's a sturdy branch.
Well, you got to go out on the limb. Branch. That's where the fruit is, man.
Well, because
Steve's being bold.
Bold moves.
Also, by that logic, Mojo would have to be one of the final 10. Because you have to, if you're building the WrestleMania, you have to build toward... The championship means this much. Look at former champions. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal means this much. Look at former Andre the Giant Battle Royal winners.
Right.
They do a good job of making that happen.
So okay,
it's the rest of the year.
To the flip side of that, then what's next for AJ? Then who's on the docket for AJ?
I think that might be Baron because Baron did beat him for the U.S. title, so they might put him in the work.
Think so?
With him.
Huh? No Shinsuke, nothing like that.
I wish for more for Shinsuke, but right now he's in a. Keep in mind,
this is a holding pattern. I also think that's why they didn't blow off the Daniel Bryan Shane McMahon stuff tonight.
Right.
Because moving forward, I think that's what they want to make the focal point so that we're not clamoring for who's next for AJ.
Is there a possibility I get Daniel Bryan and Shane?
Please, God.
Your voice is doing that thing that his voice does.
Because I don't ask for much from the Lord Almighty. Yeah. That's one of them.
That's what you're asking for. I've never asked you for anything, please, God.
I think if that's the
higher powers.
If anyone has the pull in the WWE to get Daniel Bryan into an actual ring, it would be Shane McMahon.
However, I would be offended because this is the first WrestleMania I'm going to miss in a while. So if it is live,
well,
I will be salty.
Well,
Well, then hold off, baby.
Yeah, so just chill, Lord. Don't off. Answer can my we, prayers.
Can we get them at the chamber then?
Seriously?
Be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it.
I'm so upset.
All right. One last piece of housekeeping. I've been naming a lot of numbers.
Yes.
Those numbers were leading toward an AfterBuzz TV Predictions champion.
Yeah, as a champion.
I can crown an AfterBuzz TV Predictions champion right this second.
Ooh.
They had 15 points out of the possible 17 points you could have possibly had.
Oh, wow.
They tied with @SUNY07 and came down to the tiebreaker. It is the Dynamic Dude. He is your AfterBuzz TV Predictions champion.
Dynamic
I will tweet a link.
Dynamic Dude.
I will tweet a link. And on applause, I think that's where we have to leave everyone.
Yeah, they've been moving around a Let's Wrap Up sign around the screen trying to get our attention.
And they got it. We're here. Tyler, where can the people find you on social media?
It's at GDM Tyler Bateman.
Got it. Evan.
Oh, at Evan T. Mac on Instagram, at Evan Mac Lish on Twitter. America's sweetheart here.
I'm Sarah the Rebel, and Tyler Bateman is actually one of the greatest indie wrestlers in Southern California. He's being real modest right now. And he has a dope new shirt out. It is only $20. Please hit us up if you would like it. He's looking around because he's shy. He's real shy. But buy one of these shirts. It's on my Sarah the Rebel everywhere on all my social media. And you should tune in to Women Wrestling Friends. We just talked the greatest managers of all time, and our next episode is coming up on the 26th.
Nice.
Nice. I love that. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at @_DeniseSalcedo, and also on YouTube. I'm about to reach 4K subscribers, so come give some love. That's Denise Salcedo on YouTube. Thank you so much.
Go get her. I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. You can also go to youtube.com/somethingtowrestle. Yes, I run Bruce Pritchard's Something to Wrestle With
Steve-o.
YouTube channel. I'm confirming it here. I'll tweet links to make sure it's official. If you're watching it any other way, you're actually hurting that podcast. But for everyone, thank you all so much for joining us, and good night for the year.
Oh my gosh.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.